You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action from Doncaster and Huntingdon. On this edition, they're supported by an all-weather card at Lingfield. And on Friday night, we'll have all your usual all-weather action from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. It's Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Mick Norton who'll be in the Racing Radio studio from 12:40 p.m. But joining myself, Sam Norris, ahead of all the action to give his thoughts on four contests on Friday is the aforementioned Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Sam. Technology's working wonders here. So quick and efficient. So let's hope it helps us in the way of finding winners on Friday.
It is top-of-the-range equipment that we've got at our disposal, Craig.
It is. Yeah, splendid.
Yeah, a little bit later on in the day that we normally record this podcast. But some good actions come on Friday, Craig.
There is, yeah. You know, the most significant thing on Friday, I think, Sam, is that we've got forecast good to soft ground at both Doncaster and Huntingdon. You know, that's a rarity for this time of year. And the strong winds forecast for Friday morning as well. So I only see that getting better and drying out. So, it's great to see.
Yeah, it is. You can look at the cards the night before with confidence that the meeting won't be abandoned for a change. And we haven't been able to say that recently.
Yeah, definitely. The last few podcasts I've done, there's always been at least one race on at a meeting that has unfortunately fallen to the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with a bit of the news, though, before we get stuck into the races. I want to start, first of all, by posing you a question regarding Moonracer. Connections are going to go for an audacious bid at Cheltenham. They're going to send him to the Supreme without a run. Of course, last year's champion bumper winner. We haven't seen him jump a hurdle in public, Craig. A bold, bold bid to be taking on the likes of Min and Altior without a run.
Yeah, it is. You know, like you said, first time over hurdles at the Cheltenham Festival in the Supreme is just never ideal against horses that have had an ideal preparation throughout the season. It's going to be a difficult task for him. You know, I'm surprised that they've opted for the Supreme in a way, because he's a horse that, you know, looked like he wanted a bit of a trip for me, and I'm sure the Neptune had to come into some discussion at some stage. And for the Supreme, you know, first time up with a 12-month absence to overcome, it's a huge ask.
Is this another example of how some people maybe get a little bit Cheltenham-centric? Could he not have had a run in him, skipped the festival, then gone to Aintree?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, he's got a good record at Cheltenham, and he won the champion bumper last year, and we know that the Pipeyard like to target that meeting over Aintree. So I'm sure that's why, you know, they're trying to get him ready. It's unfortunate that they haven't got a run into him, but when you're going, you know, championship speed, first time over hurdles, it's a huge ask for a novice. I'm sure I've seen our very own Rory DeLaghi post some stats up before, and of the 63, was it, horses that was making the hurdling debut in the Supreme, 6 have won. So, you know, it's a bigger percentage than you would look. But Rory did say that doesn't tell a true story. You know, when we're looking at Moonracer and this, it's more, I would imagine most of those 6 winners were horses coming from flat careers.
Right.
Where this is a national hunt type horse that has been off through injury. So it's a slightly different set of circumstances, but I still think it's a big ask for the horse to win a championship race after 12 months off the track.
Yeah, it will be. And as you say, going at that pace, I mean, you can do all the schooling you want at home over fences. It's not the same as race day, is it?
Definitely. You know, I'm sure he'll be well schooled, but, you know, when they get to Cheltenham, a big day, you know, and they go off at a really quick pace. You know, his jumping's going to be put to the test, and he's going to need to be very fluent and very fast to keep himself in contention, Sam. So good to see him back, but yeah, he faces a stiff task on his hurdles debut.
Absolutely. A general 25-1 poke with us here at William Hill for the Supreme Novices. Let's talk wind operations for a second then, Craig. It's a subject that's been talked about quite a bit. It's come back into the news recently because Bruce Millington's had his say on it. The idea that all wind operations should be declared and should be marked on the race card in your morning paper so that the punter can know that a wind operation has taken place. You know, Cole Hardin, for example, in last year's World Hurdle, had the wind up, came back, won the race. But I'm led to believe that nearly all National Hunt horses have some sort of a wind operation at some point during their career. Can we put all of them on the race card? Can we make all the information available?
I don't think it's a bad thing to do that, Sam. But, you know, like you say, a wind, having a star or a symbol beside a horse's name, you know, signifying that the horse has had a wind operation, doesn't tell a true story, because there's so many different types of wind operation with soft palates, and there's a huge amount in it, and some horses respond very well to it and others, you know, don't. I certainly don't think it's a negative. I think it's a step forward, but I would rather see, you know, the exact detail of the wind operation listed, because I'm sure, you know, on a horse's passport or whatever the you know, the vet has to stamp the horse exactly. So surely the recording of the type of operation could be recorded against the horse in the form book to let us know what type of operation that has taken place. It's, you know, every single piece of information we can gather regarding a horse helps us, you know, in terms of trying to find winners. So I certainly don't think it's a bad thing, and I see it as a step forward, but let's not do half the job. Let's do it properly, and let's list the exact type of operation that's taken place.
Yeah, okay. As you say, you can never have too much information at hand in a game that's based purely on information.
Yeah, definitely. You know, 99%, it's the form you're looking for. But if you see a horse that you think, well, that's travelled really well for 90% of its race, it's just another tame finishing effort.
Yeah.
And then you see wind operation alongside it, you know, gives you the chance to give the horse another chance, really, if you like. You know, it's had an operation, and you would expect to see a stronger effort in the finish. It's that type of thing that would definitely benefit like the likes of myself when you see horses just not seeing it out properly, and then you see, you know, on the next start that they've had a wind operation since then. It's positive information that we can use to our benefit.
Yeah, absolutely is. Very interesting thoughts then from Craig regarding the wind operations. Let's just touch quickly on the weekend's racing before we get really stuck into Friday. And I want to speak first of all about the mini Albert Bartlett that we're possibly going to see at Doncaster, with Barters Hill set to take on Up for Review. They're the current first and second in the betting for the Albert Bartlett, and we get a chance to see them face off at Doncaster as a warm-up for the festival.
Yeah, definitely. Should be a real good race, I think, with Barters Hill at the moment. I don't think, you know, the connections have come out and said that the Albert Bartlett's definitely his race. I think they're doing the right thing here by stepping the horse up in trip at this stage, so, you know, they can make a decision after Saturday whether they think they want to come back in trip to the Neptune or stay at 3 miles and plus for the Albert Bartlett. I certainly don't think he's short of speed,
right,
Bartlett Hill. You know, the way he races through, you know, the way he goes through his races, you know, he seems to struggle, and then he picks up and he shows a fine turn of foot at the end of his races. And let's not forget, he's won a bumper at Aintree over 2 miles as well. So, you know, I don't think he's an out-and-out stayer, and it will be interesting to see how he gets on racing in this class at this trip on Saturday. But I wouldn't rule out a move back to 2 mile five for the Neptune at Cheltenham.
Okay, yeah, he's certainly a very exciting horse, and we look forward to seeing Barters Hill take on Up for Review at the weekend. The other big race coming up at the weekend is the Cleeve Hurdle, a chance to see Thistlecrack again round Cheltenham. He's 8-11 to win the Cleeve Hurdle, and he's the favourite in the World Hurdle market as well. But on his only trip to Cheltenham so far, he was pretty much stuffed. So it'll be good to see him take on the undulations again.
Yeah, he's a different horse this time around. He looks like he's got a lot stronger, and he's seen his races out better. He was a real promising novice last year, signed off with a win at Aintree. And he looks like he's gone on again and improved since that. His big test's going to come in the World Hurdle at Cheltenham. I think he's got a relatively easy task to win the Cleve Hurdle on Saturday. Sam, I think it'll be hopefully another victory for his name, and he'll go unbeaten for the season to Cheltenham in March. But that's where his real test will come.
Yeah. Is it a good idea from Colin Tizard to test him round Cheltenham? Because there are other races that he could have gone for a warm-up run.
I think it's good. You know, the opposition doesn't look too strong. Camping Ground obviously needs to really prove his stamina at this trip. Petit Zig coming back from a poor round of fencing last time. Nakara Bowe's getting on now. The opposition looks weak. Thistlecrack is a better horse at this trip than the opposition. So, you know, a run round Cheltenham certainly won't do him any harm. And, you know, this will be the final touches to his World Hurdle bid.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people very keen for him to win the World Hurdle. If anything, just to be a different runner to the Willie Mullins fancies in all the other championship races. I think it's the only race where he doesn't have the favourite.
I think he will beat Vroom Vroom Mag. Mm. And when, obviously, Annie Powers, the big question, whether they can get a run into her prior to Cheltenham. Because I believe if they do, then she may well go for the World Hurdle. But for me, if the ground comes up quicker at Cheltenham, I think Vroom Vroom Mag will struggle. She looks a big, heavy top mare that seems to just absolutely relish heavy conditions. And I think that's what she needs to be at her best. And if it comes up quicker at Cheltenham, I think the likes of Thistlecrack will have too much toe for the big mare.
Yeah, could well play out that way. That's the Cleve Hurdle then, 8 to 11, Thistlecrack, Camping Ground, 7 to 4, 5 to 1, Petite Zig, and 20s, bar those. That comes up on Saturday at Cheltenham. But let's look ahead now to Friday's action. We've got two from Doncaster and two from Huntingdon to come on this edition of the podcast. And we start at Donny for their 2 o'clock. This is a handicap chase. The Challenge Staying Chase Series final, no less, over 3 miles. Is a Class 4 event with 14 runners lining up for it. Who caught the eye here, Craig?
Yeah, we're going to stick with the in-form horse here of Henry Daly, Syrian Star. He's a horse that, you know, when he hits form, he can run up a sequence. He did so over hurdles, Sam, and he looks to be getting his act together over fences. He dropped to a lenient mark when he won at Stratford. He was winning off 107 there. Only went up £3 for that and then beat Valley of Milan at Catrick. He stays well. Richard Johnson again is in the saddle, and he's still, you know, on his hurdle form, a well-handicapped horse on a mark of 116. The ground would be perfect for him. I think Henry Daly's horses are definitely in better form now than they was a month or so ago. So it's another positive for his chances. And he's a big, strong horse, so carrying 11.8 isn't going to stop him. Everything in his favour to complete the hat-trick.
OK, everything points towards Syrian Star then for Craig, Henry Daly and Richard Johnson teaming up in that 2 o'clock at Doncaster. We stay at Doncaster now for a novice's chase. This is their 3.05. Again, 3 miles is the trip ahead of the five runners that go down for this. A small field, Craig, but you certainly give chances to three or four of them.
Yeah, and I'm certainly going to give another chance to Thomas Brown, who was disappointed with his effort at Ascot last time when he was finishing second to a Paul Nichols inmate. But, you know, prior to that, he looked a really exciting novice chaser back at that track. He's a huge unit, and he just looks to make jumping fences so easy. I think, you know, at Doncaster, the fences still take a bit of a jump in there. But I think there's much more to come from Thomas Brown. I think he's a really exciting novice chaser. I think he can go on to bigger and better things from here. And I think he'll take the world of beating on Friday. Obviously, lots of dangers. You know, I do like Vintage Vinny. He was very impressive on his chasing debut at Worcester. Went up in grade after that. Fell at Cheltenham and was disappointing there. So he has questions to answer. Wicked Spice is punching a little bit above his weight in this class. But he's certainly a chaser to keep on side for Nicky Richards. He's not very well in at the weights here. But he will, in time, better his hurdles form over fences. He is a real nice type of horse, as Wicked Spice, but up against it, against some classy rivals. I'm going to stick with Thomas Brown. I think he can get back on the winning track here. Brian Hughes comes in for the ride.
Okay, Harry Fry and Brian Hughes then teaming up with Thomas Brown in that 3.05 at Doncaster. We'll go over to Huntingdon now for two races on their card on Friday, and we start with the 2.40. This is a handicap hurdle, a series qualifier for the Potemps final. This is 3 mile, 1 furlong the trip here. We've got 10 runners down for this class two. Looks a good race this, Craig.
It is. It's a nice race, Sam, and I'm very keen on one here. This would be the strongest bet of the day for me on Friday. Horse that has been screaming out for better ground, and that is Unace. I thought he travelled well for a long way in the Lanzarote at Kempton. Obviously, the ground was just a little bit too soft and deep for him on that occasion. He's got the best part of 16 lengths or so to make up with Western Warrior on that form. But there's every possibility he will do that on better ground on Friday. The handicap has dropped him £2 for his Kempton run. No problems at all carrying a big weight here of 11-12. He's a class act. You know, they've decided to go with a hurdling campaign for him this time around. We've seen him over fences last year where, you know, in the whole, he posted some decent efforts. Beating the likes of Royal Regatta wasn't bad effort over fences. But I still think on a mark of 142, there's potential. And I think he's the class act in this race. And I think he can turn around the Kempton form with Western Warrior.
The top weight then, Unai's getting the pick for Craig, Kim Bailey and David Bass teaming up on that one. The final race on today's podcast comes again from Huntingdon. This is their 350. We've got a handicap hurdle here over 2.5 miles. 15 line up for this class four. Anything leaping off the page here, Craig?
Nothing I would say is leaping off the page here. There's a couple with chances, and I'm going to stick with an unexposed type and Alan King's Handsome Sam. Don't think he gave his true running at Leicester last time. You know, he finished fourth, beaten 22 lengths behind, hit the highway. That horse has won again since. So at least it was a decent race he finished fourth in. He was impressive on his previous start back at Leicester, getting the better of Petite Power. I don't think the handicapper is overreacted. You know, 118 is a very fair opening mark for his handicap debut. I do think there's more to come from him. Obviously, flat right-handed tracks will play to his strength. And he's the one definitely of interest in the 350.
Okay, then Craig's thoughts there in the 350 at Huntingdon. Just sum up, please, one more time, your four picks for the action on Friday.
Yeah, first of all, Syrian Star in the 2 o'clock at Doncaster. Then Thomas Brown in that really good novice chase at 3:05. The best bet of the day is Unais in the 2:40 at Huntingdon. And finally, in the 350 at Huntingdon, we're going for the horse of Alan King's Handsome Sam. Handsome Sam it is.
Thanks very much, Craig, and I hope you enjoy the action on Friday.
Yes, thank you.
And Craig will be back in the Racing Radio studio alongside Gary Capewell and Mick Norton from 12:40 p.m. on Friday afternoon. We've got Doncaster and Huntingdon covered, as well as the all-weather card at Lingfield. Then into the evening, it's Wolverhampton and Dundalk. All-weather action from both sides of the Irish Sea with Gary, Craig and Mick from 12:40. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.